Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. Biggie and I are going to be at odds over one of these legal stories here. We're at odds over this now. We're not. That's not our starter on the docket. Not
the hot lead.
That's not the hot lead, but there's a Trader Joe's versus Smucker's lawsuit.
Okay. Well, let's don't say where we align.
Okay.
Maybe Lisa can try to predict.
Lisa will try to predict what we're doing here, but Biggie and I just during the commercial break, we're talking about, and we are on diametrically opposite sides on this.
I tried to leave, but you reminded me I couldn't.
That's right.
Where are you going? The show's not over.
That's right. You were trying. I mean, that is that bad in here that one of us is for Smucker's and the other's for Trader Joe's. I'm going to say another word about it until we get to the story. I'm sorry you had to be dragged into this, Lisa. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. I hope you are.
Yeah, we'll have to make you not only an attorney, but a judge.
That's right. You're going to have to judge me and Biggie today. But before
B&J.
That's right. Yeah. Now, before all that, though, we wanted to make a couple of announcements. I know you've got a few things going on, and let's just lead with that. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. First, I just wanted to say a big thank you to Janet Borchardt, who is an artist in the Concord area. She works with glass, and she heard us talking about Halloween and how that's my favorite holiday, and she sent me the most beautiful little glass haunted house that lights up. It's gorgeous. It's going to be now my, like, favorite thing of the season because it was a gift and it was so special. And she's a listener, and she just wanted to say, hey, you know, that struck a chord with her about Halloween. How nice. So anyway, I was
What are you going to say about that? I am just, me too.
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful.
Have you posted a picture of this anywhere, Lisa?
I will. I'll take a picture and I'll post it this morning. I haven't done it yet. I just opened it yesterday.
So, I'd love to see it.
That is so great.
I love that. It's really awesome. Nice. See, people send us gifts sometimes, and then I forget their name.
And then you don't say thank
I don't
you.
Say anything. I'll say,
thank you.
They wear, like, pink hot pants.
Attitude of gratitude is it's like the number one thing I've tried to teach my children.
Well,
that's
foreign to us.
That ship has sailed. with Mr. Kelly, Lisa.
Yeah, I got some pink hot pants as a gift this week. Wore them this week, and a trucker went by me while I was pumping gas and just said, Jesus Christ. I had to throw them away.
Get in the truck, sweetie.
That's right. Hey, get it, girl. Oh, that's a dude. So it's a little different. The gift is a little different. And I know you're doing an event as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, and a week from today on the 24th, I'm hoping that lots of P1 listeners will come out to Spooky Woods. I'm going to be doing a little thing there. I'm going to be up on the catwalk above the queue where you line up. And because, it can be a little while waiting in that line. And so I am going to fling T-shirts down on people. And so I'm hoping that some P1s will come and let me hit them with a T-shirt.
Look at this.
Will you be in costume, Lisa?
You know, I probably will. I was not planning to wear a costume, but so many people have said, you got to wear a costume.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think if you're hitting people with stuff from above, they'll take it easier. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's assault.
I didn't want to say it. I mean, I can really get my arm back in, get into it.
Oh, yeah. Can you be that Hooters girl again? That over,
yes. Over the hill?
Over the hill Hooters girl. That's my favorite of your costumes,
Yeah, it was a good one.
They're all great, but that's my favorite. Well, absolutely. Good luck with that. And again, thanks to that P1 who sent the haunted house. That's beautiful. I can't wait to see a picture of that when you post it. Now, meanwhile, to the cases here on the docket, and we're getting to that Smucker's versus Trader Joe's on the way. Yeah. Biggie and I are at odds. But we start, I'm intrigued by this one. A woman in New Jersey, her name is Megan Corr. She is suing Volvo USA because she and her friend who works for Volvo and owns a Volvo were out, I think they were going on a hike in New Jersey. And while she was getting her stuff out of the back from the tailgate, her dog, or a dog that was in the car, went under the vehicle and caused then that sensor to lower the tailgate. She was hit by it, and she says she's had all sorts of injuries since, brain injuries, she has balance issues, all these things. So she's suing Volvo because the guy worked for Volvo and owned the Volvo. Is she going to win this, Lisa? I mean, that just to me, it seems like, just bad luck. You know, is there a lawsuit involved here?
Yeah, in New Jersey where this happened, if she can show that the product was dangerous, that the lift gate automatic closure thing was dangerous and she was injured by it, then she doesn't have to show negligence, and it's a strict liability state as far as if it's a dangerous product. So she may have a chance. And I'm surprised that they don't have a sensor that can tell if something is in there. Because imagine children back there at the back of the gate, you know, and how easily their little heads could be crushed. And this lady suffered a pretty significant injury. She has permanent, she said it was a traumatic brain injury, and she has permanent loss of vision and balance.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it crushed her head. I just can't believe that there's not a sensor that knows if you've got something, you know, that's about to get crushed in there. And I know people who have cars with this feature, and they all think it is the deal, right? They love to show you how they wave their foot under it, and it opens and closes. But I think maybe they need to rethink that if it doesn't have it. Because, you know, like a van, like a minivan that has an automatic door, will usually have a sensor if there's something in there. Some do, anyway, that it won't close on your child. And I would think that a Volvo wagon would do that, too.
Very surprising that it doesn't.
So it didn't just conk her on the head. It
crushed her.
Closed on her head?
Yeah.
It closed on her head. Yeah.
I cannot imagine. It's like a garage door. It has that sensor, you know.
It would have to. It must have been. So that's why I think maybe she will work. I think they'll settle with her, probably, because there must have been some kind of defect, because surely it has a feature like that that just failed.
Has to. Biggie.
Now, I don't want to make things worse, because it's already tense in here, Lisa, but one member of the show knew nothing of this technology of waving a foot under and was
the foot sensor.
Completely mind blown by this.
Look, I drive a minivan.
I know what you used to drive, bro.
Right. Well, you know, if mine, I was telling this, on our minivan, it has a button. I'm wowed by that. It has a button in the, you know. But so when I'm holding a bunch of groceries, I have to put my nose up to it or like my tongue and lick it to press the button, and it does close. But when they told me that this was something, like I read the story and I said, explain it to me. And Kristen said, well, you wave your foot under the car itself. And I was like, get out. That cannot be real. And I can tell from Kristen's facial expressions, he's got this feature. I think he's got the
most definitely.
And do you use it?
Yeah,
do you
like it? All the time.
Yeah,
all the
time. And people who have it are real. They show it off. They love it. It's like, watch what my car does.
Well, there's Chris Dibb.
We do love it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We do love it.
Chris Dibb's like, oh, yeah, take a look at this. It's magic.
Look at that. It's just my foot.
Yeah.
Chris Kelly thought everyone in the grocery store parking lot was just crazy. Yeah, a bunch of people just waving their foot on the back of their car.
How can it be? How does it do that? I'm wowed by technology.
But I've never used it to close. I've never put my foot under it to close the tailgate.
You can open it too?
That's the main reason people use it. You come into the car with a handful of groceries in both hands, boom, you wave your foot.
But what about when I have to lick it, you know, the top or push my nose on it? That's when I'm going into the house and you've done your
last load.
Right. So I've got loads of groceries. I'm trying to get in one trip. And so I'll try to close it that way. So do you use it mostly to open, not to close?
Yeah, 99% of the time.
Well, this poor woman didn't know the dog was going under there. And when the dog went under, it closed on her.
But usually you have to kind of hover for a second. Mm-hmm. You have to get right in the sweet spot.
Yeah. I bet the dog just sat right in that sweet spot.
The dog got right under it, probably.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Another interesting case from Las Vegas. Man is suing the Bellagio, claiming he was assaulted after he won a $2,600 jackpot. He was at the casino playing the slots. And he got the $2,600 jackpot, and there was a light up. So they were coming over to pay him his money. And he thought, well, I'll just walk down here a couple of machines over and keep playing while I wait, because it took him a pretty good amount of time. Well, some folks came up and said, well, this is my jackpot. And he said, no, it's not. That's my jackpot. They fought over it. They tried to beat him up. They did. So he's suing the Bellagio because they didn't send assistance over quickly enough for him. I think he's got a case as well. What do you think, Lisa?
Yeah, he probably does. But you know, the number one rule in a casino when you win is you don't walk away from the machine.
That's what Biggie said.
Dumb move. Yep. Dumb move right there.
Biggie said it.
I mean, you stay with your machine. Don't get there. Just be patient. You know, I mean, it was a decent little win, too. I mean, it wasn't anything tremendous. It was like $2,000 or something.
$2,600.
Anyway, so stay with the machine. But anyway, and I guarantee you that if something went wrong in favor of the casino or, you know, against the casino where they thought like somebody was doing something illegal, security would be on them in about 2 seconds. So I think, you know, they probably have the capability, you know, with security. Why they didn't come, I don't know, because it went on for a long time. And they threatened him. The woman slapped him, and then the two men jumped on him, and it went on for a while.
Boy, Biggie's in there with a smug look on his face. He told us all this 3 days ago. So you don't leave the machine.
Yeah.
And I was like,
cardinal rule.
Why can't you go down three or four? No, you don't leave.
Maybe you're on a heater. You're feeling lucky you play the machine two over.
That's what I thought. But
yeah,
no.
You got to wait.
You got to wait for them to give it to you. Now, Biggie's been right on case one and case two, but this one's the one where we're completely at odds. And I'm not going to tell you who's on it. I'll just read the facts of the case, all right? Smucker's has filed a lawsuit against Trader Joe's, accusing the grocery chain of copying its Uncrustables packaging and design. They filed this a few days ago, claiming that Trader Joe's crustless peanut butter and strawberry jam sandwiches closely imitate and look the look and marketing of the Smucker Uncrustables. Uncrustables is like a $1 billion industry. They sell a ton of those. All the way to the crimped sandwich edges, the blue color scheme, and the image of a sandwich with a bite taken out. So the logo is too similar and the product itself is too similar. They say it's an obvious attempt to trade off the fame of our product and we're suing them. Lisa, who wins this, Smucker's or Trader Joe's?
You know, it's really too close to call at present. I imagine it might settle. So they both have good arguments. Mm-hmm. The Smucker's folks, you know, say, look, we trademarked this. It has the classic crimped edge that we came up with. Mm-hmm. They say that, you know, your picture on the front is very similar to ours with a bite out of it. Mm-hmm. And that you can't really tell that yours is shaped differently from the front of the packaging. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Trader Joe's is saying, look, you can't trademark a crustless sandwich, right? And you can't trademark the act, which is you're not allowed to trademark functional food prep stuff. And so mm-hmm. they're saying, look, the crimping of the edge is a functional food prep thing. And our package looks different. We made our square instead of round. We're different. So it's close. And that's why I think it might settle. Oftentimes these things do. I would say, I would lean a little bit on the side of Trader Joe's simply because you can't trademark functionality.
Mm. I'm on the side of Trader Joe's. Biggie is on Smucker's side. Because when I look at the packaging, I don't see much similar at all, except...
The packaging is not similar. You're right. The packaging is not similar. Unlike, you know, we talked about the Aldi's ripoffs of all the Nabisco products. They look just like them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But these do not. Yeah,
right.
These do not.
The packaging's different. Now, they do have the bite out of the little sandwich.
They do have the bite out.
Other than that, I don't see any. And I go into Trader Joe's, and I see there's a product called JoJo's. It's clearly an Oreo. I mean, it looks just like an Oreo. It's like, this is done all the time. You go into Walmart, you get a great value sandwich cookie. It looks just like an Oreo.
Just like an Oreo, right.
You know, just as long as the packaging's different.
So you've always been carrying water for Trader Joe's ever since you discovered it, Kelly. And you're on the record as hating crust. You have to... I move that you be recused from this case.
Yeah.
I still
can't. You don't eat bread crust.
I will not eat a crust. In fact,
I'm going to tell you, I think they must put crack in these things because my kids ate millions of these things when they were little.
I love them. My nieces
love them.
My son to this day.
When did they hit the market? I have no recollection.
I'd say 25 years ago is my guess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
90s.
You know, it's the number one snack eaten in the NFL.
Uncrustables?
Yes. They eat, seriously, between all the NFL teams, it's like they eat like 74,000 a year.
Well, they're so easy. You know, they're frozen. You just leave them laying out. Like, it's so easy to put one in your kid's lunch. And so, so then it's thawed by the time lunch comes around and they love them.
Well, they said after an NFL game, you know, when they're getting on the team plane, linemen will grab six of them.
Yeah.
And just put them, for the plane.
It's such a smart idea. I hate crust. Mm-hmm. And for years, my mom would cut off the crust of my bread when she'd serve me breakfast in bed or whatever it would be, or lunch. You know, she would always cut off the crust, no matter what the sandwich. I should have thought of it myself. Uncrustables. What a genius idea. Mm-hmm. But as Chris Tim says, I carry water for Trader Joe's.
Maybe I'm on Smucker's side, and maybe it's just that I'm tired of Trader Joe's just taking items that exist and changing their name to something fun.
Like Smuck Off?
Yeah.
Or Smuck You?
Yeah.
Smuck You, yeah.
That's what they do, too. You'll go in and it'll be like, oh, these are the Rudy Roos. It's a product that already exists. They just redone their name.
Well, yeah. Try a JoJo. I'll bring you some JoJo's in here. Yeah.
Or some Toot Loops.
Yeah.
Get some Toot Loops. All that crap. They do that all the time. I don't care. I'll carry water for Trader Joe's until the cows come home. You know why? Because they're nice to me. Every time I walk in, they're like, hey, you been to the gym? Yes, I have. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, we could tell. Yeah. And many people are alarmed by how you look. You ran in here all sweaty and out of breath.
Well, I like Trader Joe's. When I was in New York, I shouldn't even say this. I was walking the streets of New York City, and I came upon a Trader Joe's, and I thought, oh my gosh, they've got them here too. I went in.
How charming.
I went in and looked. I almost bought some yogurt and almond butter, but I didn't have a utensil with which to eat it, or otherwise I would have bought that. I was like, oh man.
I'm home.
It's Trader Joe's. Yes, I will carry their water.
It's supposed to be a great place to work too. Everybody says it's very high employee satisfaction.
They're so friendly. Mm. They're so friendly in there.
By the way, I think your timeline is correct. According to the Smucker's own website, the... someone created the idea in 1996. They hit the grocery store shelves in 2000.
I remember thinking, that's a great idea, mm-hmm. because I hate as long as they get the flavor right, which apparently they have. And I'll bet there are preservatives in that thing. I mean, goodness.
Oh, you know. I'm worried my kids are going to have cancer from how many I've had.
Yes. My kids are 20 and 17. They still eat them. They love them. You're right. A quick story from Kansas. We had a question about this. Mays, Kansas, heroic story. A guy was driving his truck and started to hit low blood sugar. He could have used a Smucker's. He could have used an Uncrustable. Anyway, his name is Norman Stabler, and he started to black out. Some teenagers, 19 and 15, were behind him and realized, oh, this guy's weaving. Something's going wrong. So they pulled in front of him, let him run into their vehicle, and just basically caused him to slow down and run off the road in a safe way instead of going off the road at a high rate of speed and flipping and all that kind of stuff. So the question was this. I mean, the guy was unbelievably appreciative, and the kids are heroes and everything. And he said, hey, there's some young people who do the right thing. Really helped him, saved his life, maybe.
Yeah.
But when all was said and done, Chris Dim's question, and a good one, if there's damage to both cars, who pays it? Because it's really not an accident. Is the insurance going to say, we're paying for that? Because the kids did this intentionally. They let damage happen to their vehicle. How does that work, Lisa?
Right. And they're insulated under the Good Samaritan statute from any kind of claim against them. So probably everybody will take care of their own damages. Now, if you don't carry full coverage, that's going to get dicey.
I see. Okay. But you think everybody takes care of their own.
Interesting.
All right.
Right.
One more in June, Florida, Seminole County. Deputies mistakenly forced their way into the wrong home near Lake Mary while searching for a shoplifting suspect who had robbed the Winn-Dixie. There was a miscommunication, apparently, between the sheriff's office and the police department. Deputies believed they were at the correct address, but instead they entered the home of Victor and Jennifer Gordillo and their family. And when they pushed through the door, they tried to detain them, wrestle them to the ground. In cases like this in the past, you have said the police have basically carte blanche. They just made a mistake. So they don't have to pay for damage to the door, nothing like that, right?
Well, here I will say, you know, so they have to have gross negligence in order to overcome police immunity or sovereign immunity. And here it was pretty bad because apparently, so there was this Winn-Dixie that had a shoplifter, I think lifted something odd like shrimp or something. Like that's all they took.
Right.
And so the guy, he ran away. And somebody chased him out to his car. Well, so the employee was not sure of the license plate. So he thinks it was, you know, he named the license plate. So they were already kind of on a week. So they ran that tag. Mm. And it was a guy in his like late 80s or something. Doubtful that he was the one that was running from them.
Right.
You know, with shrimp in his shirt. But they went to his son's house, who was in his 70s. And that's the guy. He's a 20-year military veteran. Threw him, bust into his house, throw him to the ground, hurt him, send him to the hospital.
Jeez.
And it's all – so it's a mistaken identity for the senior guy who was also probably not the true suspect either. So it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'd say it is.
It's pretty bad. I think they ought to pay the guy. I mean, they put him in the hospital.
Yeah. Mm. In this case, I think you're right. Because usually it comes back, police win. It's like, hey, we made a mistake. Sorry.
Yeah. It's a simple mistake. This is a complex mistake. It's layers and layers of mistakes.
Two over the line. Exactly.
Yeah.
Lisa, this has been a tremendous report. I've liked every piece of it, especially you carrying water for Trader Joe's as well and leaning on the Trader Joe's side in there. Biggie and I are going to be back and forth on this for some time, I can see. This is bothering. Do you ever eat Uncrustables, Biggie?
Oh, yeah.
Want to guess how many I've had?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I know how many Chris Dim's had.
Zero.
Zero. I think y'all should do a taste test and see how.
Oh, good idea.
Trader Joe's and Smucker's.
Nobody's eating in here, Lisa, except me.
That's true. Yeah.
And he wouldn't dare.
Sorry, Lisa.
An Uncrustable for him would be too much like fun.
We're not doing it. Lisa, fantastic. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. Have a great weekend.
All there she goes. HireAHeavyweight.com or LinearLawGroup.com. That's her website. She's president there.